How dangerous are false teachers? I mean, we've seen in this study over and over all through the book of Jude that he keeps warning us about false teachers. But how dangerous are they? I mean, sometimes we think, look, it's no big deal. I mean, in our society, the idea is that people can believe anything they want to do, and they do whatever they want to do, and they can teach anything they want to. So let anybody believe anything they want to. So let them teach it. I want you to think about something. If we believe that the Bible is God's Word, and we do, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we do, if we believe that He came and He died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, that He is the Savior, and we come to Him by faith, and we do believe that, if we believe that He is the only way to God, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to get to the Father except through me. Peter said in Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. If we believe that, and we do, if we believe that those without Jesus Christ will be separated from God forever, if we believe that, and we do, then it does matter what people believe and what are being taught. It does matter that there are false teachers and they are teaching false things, things that are contrary to the Bible. It is very important that we clearly proclaim the truths of Jesus Christ, the truths about the Word of God and salvation. And it is very important that we be able to stand against the false teachers. They are dangerous. They lead people astray. They lead people to destruction and eternal separation from God. The gospel is confused, works are proclaimed, Jesus Christ is denied, the Bible is ignored, and the false teachers become the authority. We must be ready to stand. This morning, Jude charges the believers to be ready. In fact, he says we cannot be indifferent to false teachers. Jude gives us five things this morning that we can do so we can stand, so we can contend for the faith, going all the way back to verse 3 when he tells us to contend for the faith. As we begin, we need to get the flow of the book, and I want you to just do this probably one more time, and that's pull out your outline of the book of Jude. I think it's purple this morning, and I want you to just see the flow through the letter where we are. If you remember in the opening, verses, the first part, Jude was writing to the believers, and the occasion, he says, I wanted just to write and talk about how great it is to be a Christian, the common salvation that we have. But I warn you, you must contend for the faith because false teachers have crept in. He says they're going to be judged. And we saw in verses 5, 6, and 7, three Old Testament examples of judgment. And he says they're going to be judged. Then in verses 8 through 16, which took us quite a while, we looked at these false teachers. We saw their conduct. They live a life of flesh. They reject authority. We saw the three woes where he said they've gone the way of Cain, which means works for salvation. They've gone the error of Balaam, which means for money they lead people astray. They've gone the rebellion of Korah, which means they reject God and the authority of God and His Word. We saw in verses 12 and 13 the description of them. They're like raging waves, wild waves. They're like trees without fruit. They're dead. They're like clouds without water. We saw all of that. And then in verses 14 through 16, we saw the coming judgment of the false teachers. Beginning last week, we got into the section which we call the exhortation to the believers, verses 17 through 23. And in that, he gives us three things. He says we are to remember, we are to react, and we are to praise. And we saw last week as we started this whole thing of remembering. And if you would, look back with me at verse 17, because this is what he told us we must remember. Verse 17, he says, But you, beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were saying this to you. He says, Remember what the apostles said. They said this, In the last time there'll be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause division. They're worldly minded, literally they're soulish people, devoid of the Spirit. They're not believers. He warned us. He says, Listen carefully. Remember what the apostles, what they wrote in the Word of God. That in the last time, and the last time is any time after Jesus' death and resurrection, in the last time there will be mockers. Mockers mean they make fun. There are people who make fun of the fact that we say this is the Word of God. They say, you don't believe that. When you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross and paid for sin, they say, you don't believe that. When you say that salvation is really simply by grace through faith, they say, it can't be that. It's not that easy. It can't be that way. They're mockers. And that's what he said. Remember, there will be mockers, there will be false teachers. They follow at their own lust. They bring divisions within the body of Christ. He says they are unbelievers. They do not have the Holy Spirit. That was the first thing. That was the remembering. In this section today, verses 20 through 23, he tells us in a sense to react. That's how I put it. Because he wants us to look at this, these verses 20 through 23, and he gives us five things. I'm going to read the verses, and I'll show you the five things, and we'll go through it fairly quickly, and then as we go through it in our study, you can pick it up better. Look at verse 20. He says, "But you, beloved," here's the first thing, "building yourselves up on your most holy faith." That's number one. Number two, praying in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keep yourself in the love of God as you are waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. That's three. Here's number four, and have mercy on some who are doubting. And then number five, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Five things, listen. Be edified, be praying, be obedient, be merciful, be evangelistic. The first three, and we'll see them, don't worry about writing that down now, we'll get them as we go through. The first three deal with us. He says, be edified, be praying, be obedient. The last two have to deal with other people. He says, be merciful to those who doubt, be evangelistic, save some, snatching them out of the fire. There's a lot just in these few verses, and we'll go through it. We're just going to scratch the surface this morning. We're not going to go into a lot of detail. But I want you to see these five things that we can do and must do so that we can stand and be prepared as we live in a world in which there is false teaching. Look at verse 20. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith." He calls them beloved. That's the exact same thing he called them back in verse 17. "But you, beloved." Same thing. He talks about loved ones, loved by God, loved by Jude, loved by one another. We've said over and over that's the characteristics of those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, that we should be known by our love for one another. That's what Jesus said. "They'll know you might, that you belong to me by your love." That's the key. We must love one another. And he calls them, "But you, beloved." And then here's the first thing he says, "building yourselves up on your most holy faith." It says literally in the Greek, "keep on building yourself up in the faith." Building yourself in the faith. It goes back to verse 3 where he says, "earnestly contend for the faith." Same kind of thing. There's two things to think about here. What? Number one is building up, and number two is faith. That's what he says to do. Building up yourselves in the most holy faith. What's he talking about? Well, the first thing is the building up. It literally means to edify. It was the word used for growing and getting bigger and stronger. It could be the word used for a plant, that you had a plant and you say, well, it's growing, it's edifying. It was the same word used for a building. As you watched a building grow, they would say, look, it's edifying. It's the same word that he talks about in believers in Ephesians chapter 4. Where he says, to do the work of the ministry, building up the body of Christ, building up the believers. So he says we're to edify ourselves, or he says here, edify yourselves in your most holy faith. What is he talking about, faith? The faith there is the body of truth, the Word of God, the things that we believe. He's talking about the objective faith, or the objective truth of God's Word. He says, build yourself up in the faith, in the truths about God's Word. Keep growing in the truths of God's Word. That's probably how we'd say today. You need to keep growing in the truth of the Scripture. Keep growing in the truth of the Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul wrote this. He says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, in the truth of God's Word. If we're going to stand as believers, if we're going to contend for the faith, we must be built up. We must be growing. You got to know the Word. I mean, the bottom line is we got to keep growing in the Scripture. We got to keep knowing and understanding it and living it out in our lives. We must do that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says this, having been firmly rooted and grounded, now we're to be built up in Him, established in your faith. To be established in the faith is to be established in the truths of the Word of God. We must know what we believe and why we believe it. Now see, that's a great thing. Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? If someone came to you and said, listen, do you believe that when you put your faith in Jesus that you're going to heaven no matter what? And you'd say, well, sure I do. I believe that. And if they said to you, show me that from the Bible, could you do that? There are a lot of people who say, well, I know it's in there somewhere, I just don't know where it is. We need to be able to go to the Word of God and say, hey, it's John 10, 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, I give them to them eternal life. They shall never perish. My Father gave them these greater than all. Nobody can pluck them out of my hand, nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We need to be able to know what we believe and why we believe it and where to go into the Scripture. We need to keep building ourselves up. And as he says, in the most holy faith. That's why on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday school or 4:12s or all those things you hear us talk about. Our emphasis is the teaching of the Word of God. So you can know it. He says that you must, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy faith. We must if we're going to stand. That's why 2 Peter says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 says, as a newborn babe, you desire the sincere milk of the Word. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23 says, you must continue in the faith. And so the very first aspect that he tells us to do is to be built up in the faith, in the truths of the Word of God. Let me ask you something. Are you growing in your knowledge and your application of the Word of God? I mean, are you digging the Scripture? Do you understand it? That's the key. Each one of us personally, individually, must get into the Scripture for ourselves. I mean, it's the responsibility of a local church to teach the Bible, but it is also the responsibility of the individual believer to dig the Word themselves. The end result is Ephesians chapter 4, basically verses 14 and 15, where he says, no longer will we be children tossed to and fro, but we'll be built up and mature in the faith. That's the key. So the very first thing that he tells us is, but you, beloved, keep on building yourself up in your most holy faith. Be edified in the truth of the Word of God. Here's the second one. The end of verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Literally, it says, keep on praying in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Well, the idea of being praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. The truth is, all that we do, we're supposed to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. We're to be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're to pray in the power that God has given us. That's the key. God says, pray. See, one of the keys of the Christian life is prayer. It is one of the key things. I mean, too often we think about study, we think about coming to church, but sometimes we let prayer go. It is one of the keys in the Christian life. We maintain our fellowship with our Savior. We lift up our worship, our petition, our intercession, our confession, our thanksgiving, all to our Savior. How? Through prayer. That's why Philippians 4, 6 and 7. But 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. We must stand. And to be ready and to stand, we must be men and women of prayer. Think about your life for a second. Are you a prayer? I mean, is that the thing? Is that a key in our lives? Is that one of the things that we do? We're people of prayer. Remember in our study in Ephesians, talked about putting on the armor of God, and we took that in Ephesians 6, 10 through about 17 or 18, and we talked all about the armor and the helmet and the breastplate and the sword and all of that. But at the very end, after Paul talked about putting on the armor of God so you could stand, he says, and now having done everything to stand, he says, keep on praying. That's the key. And look what he says. But you, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy faith. Keep on growing in the faith, in the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. Keep on praying in the Holy Spirit. What part does prayer play in your life? Think about it. So for us to contend, be edified, be built up in the Word of God, be praying in God's power, the Holy Spirit, here's the third thing, and it's found in verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God as you wait anxiously for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. It literally says, keep on basically keeping yourselves in the love of God. I'm going to title this, Be Obedient. I'll show you why in just a second. So number three thing we have to do is be obedient. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. And you and I might stop for a second. Wait a minute. I thought He always loves us. I mean, doesn't He love us eternally? Doesn't the Bible say He loves us with an everlasting love? Hadn't we always taught that God loves you and the love will never change? That's exactly right. So what does it mean when He says, keep yourself in the love of God? Well, He's talking about obeying Him. And I want you to see this. Hold your place in Jude and go to John chapter 15. Go back to the first of the New Testament, the fourth book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 15, we're going to look just at two verses, verses 9 and 10, where we understand what it means to keep ourselves in the love of God. It has to do with our obedience. So look at it, if you would. I'll give everybody time to get there. John chapter 15, we'll look at verses 9 and 10. John 15, verse 9. He says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Literally, he's saying, keep yourself in my love. Now, he goes on to explain it. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. See, the point is, if you obey Him, you're abiding in His love. You're keeping yourself in the love of God. The key is obedience. We obey the Word of God. And that's why I called it to be obedient. We keep His commandments. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so this third thing is to be obedient to the truths of the Word of God. When we're obedient to the truths of the Word of God, we are abiding in His love. And as Jude says, we are keeping ourselves in the love of God. How do we do in that area? We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school that we have decisions to make every day, either to obey the Word of God or to live by the flesh. We have that challenge every day. In fact, many times, all day long. You have choices to abide in His love, to keep yourself in the love of God, to be obedient to the Word of God, or to live in the flesh. And if we want to be able to stand, if we want to be able to contend for the faith, if we want to stand in a world in which there are false teachers, we're not only going to have to be edified in the Word, we're not only going to have to be praying, but we're going to have to be obedient to the truths of the Word of God. I want you to go back to Jude, again, verse 21. There's a little thing, there's one other aspect tied in with this, and he finishes out verse 21 with this statement. He says, as you are anxiously awaiting for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, to eternal life, to our Lord Jesus Christ. He ties it back in for waiting for the return of Jesus. He says, listen, build yourself up in the faith. He says, keep praying. Be men and women of prayer. He says, be obedient. Abide in my love. Keep yourself in the love of God. Do all of this as you are awaiting the return of Jesus Christ. He talks about the mercy of Jesus Christ to come back to get us. We saw this several weeks ago when we talked about the end time events, which took us back a couple of verses back in the book. Jude talked about it. We realized that Jesus Christ could come any second. We call that the rapture. It means the snatching away of the people. And any one of us, every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, He could come any second and we would be gone. We're to be obedient to the Word of God. We're to be praying. We're to be building up in the holy faith as we await the return of Jesus Christ. And we brought this out. So there are no signs for Christ to come get us and take us out. There are a lot of signs for His second coming, which is coming to the earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the very next event is what people call the rapture, when He takes us out. There are no signs He could come any second. So Jude writes and he says, listen, beloved, build yourself up in the faith. Keep growing. Keep praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Be obedient to the truths as you await the return of Jesus Christ. There's two more. These first three for us. The next two deal with other people. Look at verse 22. And he says, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Have mercy on those who doubt. Both the New American Standard and NIV says, have mercy on those who doubt. The King James says this, have compassion, making a difference. King James has an alternate reading. I think that most of the best manuscripts, and this is why NIV and New American Standard put the words, those who are doubting. I think that's the more accurate of the readings. He says, have mercy on those who are doubting. What do you mean doubting? What does it mean? Well, they're referring to those who have been affected by the false teachers. Look, the false teachers, he said they have slipped into the church. They've affected people. They've affected people now. They had affected people then. They begin to doubt. They begin to doubt the truths of God's Word. And it's so easy when you hear things that are contrary to the Bible, you get confused and you begin to doubt. There are some people that have heard almost all of their lives that if you do good things, somehow you can go to God. You can get to heaven. In fact, you have to do good things. They may talk about Jesus and they may talk about grace of God, but it all boils down to that if you do certain works, God will be pleased and you can go to heaven. And then it's confusing when people talk about the fact that you're saved simply by grace through faith. They begin to doubt. Doubt the things they understand. Doubt the truth of the Bible. They doubt that salvation is really just by faith because they've heard something else. They doubt that Jesus Christ is really God. And then they begin to say, listen, is he a God? Is God really in everybody like some people say? And is he just one of many ways to get to God? I mean, there's all kind of ways out there. And surely, I mean, is he really the only way? Is he the way, the truth, and the life, as he says? Could that really be true? Is the Bible God's Word? Or is it like a lot of people say, it's just, I mean, men wrote this down and there's a lot of problems with it. In fact, you probably need some other books to go along with it to help you. I mean, is that right? I mean, who really has the authority? Is the Bible the authority, or is that teacher the authority? That when he tells you he just got a revelation from God and he gives you this information, is he the authority, or is this the authority? And people begin to doubt. And he says, have mercy on those who doubt. Help those ones who doubt. He's talking about believers who have gotten mixed up when they heard the false teaching and they begin to doubt the truths. Can it happen? Listen, there was a girl who went to our church for 4 years. She graduated 2 years ago. Moved down to Oklahoma City. She called me after she'd been there about a year and a half. And she called. She said, Jimmy, can I come up and talk to you? I said, shoot, yeah, I'd love to see you. She comes up and says, I got some problems. I said, what's going on? She said, well, I've been going to this church, but you know, there's a lot of things I'm truly confused on now. I said, about what? She said, well, I mean, we have to, if we're not working, we're not going to heaven. I said, where did you get that? Well, I mean, they're telling me that the way you know you're a Christian is you have to look at your life and you have to see all the works. And if you don't have all the works, it just proves you're not a Christian. I said, what about faith in Jesus Christ? They said, well, then you never believed. Even though you think you believed? Even though I believe, I don't really believe. I said, really? I said, you're confused, aren't you? Yeah, I am. I said, you're confusing me. And the Bible is not perfect, she said. I mean, there are a lot of things in there that just aren't exactly right. Who taught you that? Well, I mean, that's what they say. What do we do? He says, have mercy on those who doubt. When people doubt, you go back to the truths of the Word of God. It never changes. You go back to the authority. Don't let a person be the authority. Let the Bible be the authority. You go back to the truths. And we went back and I said, listen, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have eternal life. How long does that last? Well, it lasts forever. You got eternal life. You can know you have eternal life. You don't have to wait till the end of your life to see if you thought you did enough good works or not. 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Go back to the truths of the Scripture. So he says, for those who are doubting, show mercy. Go back to the Word. Help them get back to what is true. And may some of you be doubting. You trusted Christ and then you've gone through your life and people say things like, well, you don't really know if you can actually really know if you've trusted Christ. You can't know. And then you're confused and you may say, well, I thought I trusted Christ when I was 14, but maybe I didn't. I thought I had eternal life, but maybe I wasn't even right about that. You can know. You don't have to doubt. You can know this is God's Word. You can know salvation is simply by grace through faith. You can know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't have to doubt any of those kind of things. He says, have mercy on those who get confused. And there's one final thing. I call it be evangelistic. And notice what he says in verse 23. And save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. The last one, as I said, is reach out with the Word and the message of Jesus Christ. There are really two groups I see in this verse 23. One is those to save and the other is those to fear. Look at the first one. The ones to save. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. Giving them the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, there are people who have gone their whole life and they have never heard the truth of Jesus Christ. They've always thought you had to be good. I thought that. At 19, if you would have asked me, I'd have said, you go to heaven by doing more good than bad. Just as long, you're going to stand before Him one day with a big scale, and you got more good over here than bad, God will say, come in. That's what I thought. That's all I'd ever understood. And they told me, Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins, and it's by faith in Him. It's not my goodness. My goodness could never pay for one sin. There are a lot of people that you save, in a sense. And what I mean that is God uses you as the instrument to snatch them out of the fire, as He calls it. Because the concept that He uses here is the fact that when people reject Jesus Christ, or they do not trust Christ as Savior, they will be separated forever, and the Bible calls it the lake of fire. And so Jude says, save them, snatching them out of the fire. And the idea is just grabbing them and pull them to safety, because that's what the word means. It literally means to rescue them. You can't tell it so much in the English, but in the Greek there's a second group here, and it says, and on some have mercy with fear. It seems to indicate that these are different. These are not the ones you're going to save, so to speak, and you're going to snatch them. These are the ones that have already made up their mind that they're falling to false teachers. And he says, look, have mercy on them with fear. Watch out. They're dangerous. False teachers are dangerous. And people who follow false teachers are dangerous. And he says, have mercy on them. And then notice the last thing, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. He's not saying hate the people. He's saying hate what is taught. Hate what is connected there in that false teaching. Don't you hate it when somebody says that Jesus Christ is not the Savior? He's not the only way. Don't you hate it when somebody says, listen, you can't trust this book. I mean, there's some good things in there, but it's not from God. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when people tell things that you have to be good to somehow get to God? Or when people tell you that God's inside everybody and you're all part of this one big universe? Don't you hate it? Because it leads people astray. We started off by saying, if we believe this to be true, then people that believe other things are going to be separated from God. And don't we hate it when people stand up and teach things contrary to the Scripture? That's what he's talking about. He doesn't say hate the people. He says hate that message. That they're polluted, even their garments, as he calls it. False teaching is wrong, and it leads people away from God and into destruction. It is very dangerous. That's why you got to know what's right, so you can recognize false teaching. So that when somebody tells you certain things, you can say, wait a minute. That's not what Jesus says in John 15. You must be ready. He says, have mercy on him, but fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. It's a very powerful passage, a powerful section as Jude encourages us to stand, to contend for the faith. He says, be edified, grow in the faith. Be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be obedient, abiding in His love as we wait for His coming. Be merciful on those who doubt. Show them what's right. Help them to understand. And be evangelistic, saving some and with mercy, fearing others. So what is our application this morning? Be ready to contend for the faith. That's the key. As believers, we must contend for the faith. We must stand for the truth of God's Word. There are false teachers here. If you don't think there are false teachers, you are already fooled. There are many. So what five things do we do? First three for ourselves, be growing in the Word of God. Be edified in the faith. Dig the Word of God. Study it. Come on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, 4:12. Get into the Scriptures that way. Have your own personal Bible study. Dig it. Study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's the Awana theme. We'll talk about that tonight. Dig the Word. Second, be men and women of prayer. That's the key. We worship, we praise, we thank God, we lift up our confession, our petitions, and our intercessions. We do that through prayer. Make it a priority in your life. If you want to be able to stand, you're going to have to be a person who prays. We've got prayer books. If you want one, we got them in the church office. Just go get them. They're little books that you can write prayers for certain days. Anything you want to do, keep a journal, a diary, anything. It'll help you as you seek to pray. If you want to get on our prayer chain, we got two kinds of prayer chains. We got one that's a telephone kind. You get on that when there's a prayer coming through the church, they'll call you. Or if you want an email prayer chain, we can actually send you an email of the prayer of the things that you can pray for, and it'll come right to your computer. Come on a Wednesday night. We have a service on Wednesday night in which about the first 35 minutes we teach the Bible. We're studying the Gospel of Matthew. And then we break into groups for prayer after that. Come and be a prayer. Make it a priority in your life. The third thing, obey the Word. Abide in His love. Do what He wants us to do. And that's a decision you have to make. And you have to make it on a daily basis that you're going to live by the Scripture. Make that decision that this is going to be your foundation. This is going to be the way you live and how you live and what you do. It's the Word of God. The last two are for others. Help those who doubt. Those who are confused. Those who've gotten mixed up in some false teaching. Help them to understand the promises and the truths of the Word of God. That means you've got to know it. And then finally, share our faith. Saving some, snatching them out, as he says, and have mercy on those who are rejecting and going their own way. May we contend for the faith as we study, as we pray, as we obey God's Word, as we touch lives, helping the doubters, and leading some to Jesus Christ and eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this passage. Lord, it's very powerful as You tell us what to do. And Lord, we want to do it. We want to live for You. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room who know You as Savior will dig the Word, will study it, will be able to put it together and understand it. I pray that we'll be men and women of prayer, that we'll be lifting up not only our petitions and our praise and our worship and our thanksgiving and our confession, but just everything to You, and we'll maintain that relationship and that fellowship with You. Lord, I pray that we'll abide in your love as we keep ourselves in your love, as we obey you, as we live according to the scriptures. And Lord, may we reach out to those who are confused and show them the truth from the Bible. And may we reach out with the salvation message to those who have rejected, those who do not know Christ. And in a sense, Lord, maybe snatching them from the fire that some will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers. We know that some will be leaving today and they won't come back. They're graduating, going on to other things. I pray that they will live for you and they will stand and contend. Lord, we know many will be gone for the summer. We pray that as they go out and do all the different things that you've got for them, that they will contend for the faith and stand. And Lord, for those who are left here in this local body, I pray that we'll continue to grow and contend and stand and study the Word and pray and live it out and help those who are doubting and share our faith. Lord, may we be men and women who stand for the truths of the Word of God and live for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.